Well, as for me, I thoroughly enjoyed this morning's service. I thought it was fun. And I'm looking forward to even more unusual services. Hallelujah. You can open up to Acts chapter 8. Seems to be we're in this season right now of watching how people allowed the Lord Jesus to have a body on planet Earth by hearing and obeying the instructions that they were given. And sometimes you start off with very small beginnings. We read about Stephen, who his first assignment was waiting tables, serving the widows. And he didn't stay at that. I don't know how long he stayed at it, but he got promoted. You know, the Lord says if he finds you faithful in little, he knows you'll be faithful in more. So I tell everyone, he watches, and then he'll promote you, because there is great need in the kingdom for all kinds of, well, for the Lord to do his work. Let's just say it that way. So we looked at Stephen and how the Lord promoted him, and he wound up being the first martyr of the church. And then last week or two, we studied about Ananias, whom is just called a disciple. He's not in the fivefold ministry, doesn't have a pulpit ministry as far as we know. But he heard from the Lord, and I love it that he had some questions, and the Lord was okay with that and answered his questions. I love it that he gave him very precise instructions. Go to this street, find that house, talk to this guy, lay your hands on. I love it. And that's called waiting on the Lord, and we've done teachings in the past. And the Lord, in those teachings, has said, I always will give you the information you need in order to act. The what, the when, the where, the who. But he doesn't always answer why. Sometimes he does. He did with Ananias. See, my body, again, I want to draw that analogy of the body again. My body is supposed to obey the head. My thumb is not the boss. My thumb is supposed to do what the head tells it. And it's quicker than thought. Have you noticed? You see that? I mean, you can get those that can't see me, I'm moving my fingers really fast on my right hand. Obviously, they're receiving instructions. But it's quicker than I can even think. It's not like for index finger move, ring finger move. It's quicker than I can even think it. See, do you know that's how we're supposed to be to Christ? We're his body. We've got to get that analogy. And he is the head. We are the body. We get our instructions from him. Then when we do what he says, the Holy Spirit flows through our body just as if it was the Lord's body on earth. And in truth, it is the Lord's body on earth. A week or two ago, we looked at the verses in Ephesians and Corinthians where we are bone of his bone, literally bone of his bone. And we are the body of Christ, members in particular. Okay. So we looked at Stephen. We looked at Ananias. And of course, many times we've taught about Saul once he was converted. And I love that he had the two best questions. Number one, who are you, Lord? Who are you? Once he learned it was Jesus. Second best question anybody can ask, Lord, what would you have me do? And that was Paul's life from then on. Whatever the Lord had for him, that's what he did. And I feel like the Lord wants to continue in that vein. So tonight, let's look at we're going to look at Philip, who was one of the other elders or deacons, men who were assigned to wait on tables. He's one of the seven that they assigned to feed the widows. You know, that doesn't sound like a very, high position. Well, what do? I feed the widows, you know. It doesn't have a lot of glamour to it. Every time I read that story now, I can't help but think of Alan and that other preacher washing the dishes, you know. What a lowly start into ministry, you know, but it was ministry. And so Philip started off again, don't ever despise the day of small beginnings. Wherever the Lord puts you, just be a good servant. Do what he tells you to do. So for context's sake, we're going to start in Acts 8, verse 1. This is right after Stephen died. And Saul, that's Saul of Tarsus, was consenting unto his death, Stephen's. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Of course, that's before Saul was converted. So there's persecution going on. I mean, they're having to leave town. It's so bad. Either if you don't leave town, you're going to get arrested and maybe beaten and maybe put into prison. So they're having to scatter. See, but that's the thing about persecution. We don't like it, but persecution has never stopped the church. The church normally thrives under persecution. It causes the message to go even farther. And that's what happened here. So picking it up in verse 4, now we're going to look at Philip. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, but notice, preaching the word. They went everywhere, preaching the word. Just because there's persecution and we have to scatter doesn't mean we stop with the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. Now notice, why did they pay attention? Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Wait a minute. This guy waits tables. He serves the widows. Well, he started off that way. But if you continue to grow in Christ, you come to the day where the people will hear and see the miracles which you do. Now, by the way, part of the reason that he operated in miracles, it plainly says in another place, Philip eventually is called Philip the Evangelist. And just like Alan preached in the early service today, there is an equipping of miracles that goes with that calling. Now, so verse 6 again. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. Sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? And there was great joy in that city. Now this next section kind of leaves Philip for a moment. Philip went down and preached the gospel, got him to believe, did signs and wonders. And if we read this next section, you'd find out that they got saved, that they believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and were baptized. But they did not get baptized in the Holy Ghost under Philip's ministry. The apostles came down, laid their hands on them, and they got filled. And this is the story with Simon the sorcerer. But if I get into that tonight, we're going to lose the teaching. So we're going to save that. We're going to stay with Philip. So let's pick it up. So Philip goes down, he preaches, he does signs and wonders, casts out devils, heals palsy and lame people. That sure makes the people pay attention. They hear the gospel and they get saved and are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's a good trip, right? But now watch what happens after that. Picking it up in verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now, this is a time, if we were teaching today on waiting on the Lord, he has gotten his next instruction, has he not? This one is not nearly as complete. It's just enough to know what to do. And oftentimes, let me tell you, that's all you need to know. Just need to know the next step. So here's what he heard. Every time it says arise, that means get up. I got something for you to do. What do you want me to do? Go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now, there's some fascinating things you'll find out if you do some research there. There were two roads that led from Jerusalem to Gaza. There's actually two Gazas. There's an old Gaza and a new Gaza that are a few miles apart. Old Gaza is probably the one mentioned here because it had been prophesied by one of the prophets that it would remain desolate. And it became desolate under Alexander the Great. Y'all didn't come for all this. Alexander the Great made it desolate, and it stayed desolate to the point they wound up building a new Gaza about several miles away. And most likely, like I say, so there's two roads. But when he says desert, he's probably talking about old Gaza. You can find that out by reading any commentary. But that's all he knows. He doesn't know why he's going. He's not told what will happen when he gets there. This sounds like Abraham, going to a land that I will show you. Well, how will I know when I get there? I'll tell you. Well, how will I know? What am I supposed to do when I get there? I'll tell you. You know, sometimes you just have to know enough to go. So he goes. He's going down that road. Verse 27, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. How important is this guy? Who had the charge of all her treasure. This is a man of authority here now. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. Was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah the prophet. Now here we go again. So Philip has done, he's done the instruction that was given him. He got up, he left, he went to the south on the road to the Gaza, which is in the desert. Now what? Well, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip, that's all he needed to know. And Philip, he ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, well, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. This is in Isaiah. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of from some other man? Now, is that an opening for the gospel or what? Here's your opportunity. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hallelujah. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, now get this, his day is not through. So, well, that's a pretty good day's work. I got up, I left, I went down to the south, I went on the desert road from Jerusalem, found this man of great authority, led him to the Lord, baptized him in water. That's a good day's work, but the Lord says we got more to do, son. And when they were come up out of the water, I love this, how it's worded, the Spirit of the Lord. Woo! You thought this morning was something? We ain't seen nothing yet. The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. I wonder if the eunuch thought he was an angel. Anyway, meditation. Wonder what he thought. He was here, I'm telling you, he was here. He explained this to me. He baptized me in water, but then the next instant he was gone. He was just gone. We were in the desert. He's gone. And I love it. That the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now get this. But Philip was found at Azotus. Now Azotus, if you look it up, is about 24, 25 miles away from that place where they were. I love how Dave said, Trinity Airlines. who was the original beam me up? Beam me up, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through Azotus, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now, we see the same pattern over and over again. Whether you're an evangelist, whether you're a disciple, no matter what it is you are, the key is to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, whether it comes by vision like it did to Ananias. See, Jesus appeared to Ananias in a vision. But that's just the language. That's the language of the Holy Spirit. Visions and dreams is one of the ways he communicates. Here, Jesus doesn't appear that way, the same way. But it says again and again, the Spirit said unto him. Whether he's hearing him with his audible voice, whether he's hearing the still small voice on the inside, I don't know, but don't you wish there was a church where you could be trained on purpose how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? Wait, we are actually in that church. And this is why the Lord, part of that prophecy, which amazing, I've already received the text of that prophecy. I don't have it printed out with me, but I knew if I brought it, that would be the service, and that's not what he wanted to do. And Sue and I, we haven't had, you know, we've never been flown by Trinity Airlines anywhere, but it's amazing how this same pattern, you pray, you listen, sometimes it comes as a dream, sometimes you just know that you know, sometimes it's through a tongue and interpretation. We've had a few confirmations through other people at times, including Dave, but it's always been just enough instruction to know what to do for the next step. And very often, especially in the early days, he didn't say anything to us about how the finances were going to come, you know. And that was my big worry, because I didn't know the Lord, really. If you'd asked me, I would have said I know him as provider, but I really didn't. I was scared to death. But thank God, one step at a time, and he was very gentle with us. We followed the Lord. And here it's been 20 some odd years since we went full time, and neither one of us have starved yet. Neither of us have starved. He's taken good care of us. We're good and going on. But the same pattern, we see it with Ananias. We see it with Philip. We see it everywhere. And with Jesus, good Lord, we could just show time after time after time. I'm thinking right now of when they sent word to him, your friend Lazarus is really sick. He's going to die, you know, but we know if you come, he won't die. See, that would have got me. I know if I had an anointing where every time I pray, they get healed and my good friend is going to die. Well, normally, see, if we don't learn how to be led by the Spirit, we're going to fall into many traps. Boy, Dave really broke that one down. I've never heard anybody break it like Dave. He said, that was a trap. The Jews were waiting to kill Jesus there. So the devil attacks one of his best friends, Lazarus, close friend, with sickness, thinking when the word gets to Jesus, he'll come, the Jews will get him, and they'll kill him. I probably would have fallen for that. You know, hopefully now I'm to where I wouldn't. But when the report comes to Jesus, your friend is going to die, sick unto death, Jesus doesn't go. And he stayed in the same place, what, two more days or something? And he knows also by the Spirit, Lazarus has died. He knew it was safe to go, because the Jews, once Lazarus died, they're thinking, well, he didn't come, we can leave now. So they've dispersed, and it's safe for Jesus. But see, Jesus also had a faith that, well, death is nothing. We're thinking, that's the end of it right there. He's going, no, I am the resurrection and the life. Whew, glory to God. Got a tingle in my knees right there. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me will never die. Whew. So Jesus also, as a man, he is the looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. He also relied on the leadership of the Holy Spirit. No matter what his emotions told him, no matter what his logic told him, if the Spirit said, don't go, I'm not going. That's the way we have to be. And cut down. See, I'm hearing again that little portion of the prophecy where the Holy Spirit said through Bronk. Now, this is not, of course, today, but one of the prophecies. Oh, it's in that no plan B. It's in the one for the last prophecy from 2021 at Bronx website. No plan B. I think that's the one. He says, can I start again with a people that have no strength in prayer? And he was telling us, I haven't had you here for 20, 30 years grooming you for prayer for nothing. I can't just start. I could, but how many generations has gone by with him having to do that? How about we just buckle down and finish this? How about we just buckle down and really let him have his way? And let's birth this thing. Somebody sent me and again, I apologize for getting so many people send me really good things. I have people that are, you know, really, most of them are good things. See, but I'm pretty sure y'all are aware I've never had a baby. I'm not going to have a baby, you know. So I just know what I've seen and heard. But a lady who's had a baby sent her thoughts about, remember the prophecy that came recently again through Bronk that said this revival, the baby, is in the birth canal? Now you women have to tell me if this is true, but she said, now once that happens, once the baby is in the birth canal, you really lose control. It's not up to you anymore. Everything is coming now. You can't stop it if you want to. It's moved to a different level of control. And I thought, boy, that's right. And that's what he was telling us. The only thing that would happen now, the only way you would have to abort the baby. You would have to abort the baby at this point. We are not going to do that. We're also warned, though, in that prophecy. Now, we know in the natural how you abort a baby. How do you abort this one? From the prophecy, you'd have to say distraction. Distraction is how you would abort this baby. Just be extra careful about every kind of distraction if it's going to take you away from prayer. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. And that's funny. You know, these messages are to the people that are already coming to prayer. Maybe some of you will come. Or wherever you live, you can join with us. Wednesday, 10 in the morning till 8:30 at night. Friday, 10 in the morning till 8:30 at night. Saturday, 7 in the morning till noon. And you can actually pray at other times also. So, but that's where we are right now. So I want to praise God for that. You're also going to have to be careful of well-meaning people that sound like friends and talk like friends, but they're enemies to this message. And just be careful. It's easy to judge. If the end result of whatever it is they're communicating with you is to take you away from here or take you away from prayer or take you out of whatever, and I mean on a consistent basis, you know, well, that's the enemy dressed up like a friend trying to take you out, trying to abort the baby. So let's not be ignorant of his devices. All right. We're going to go ahead and do the confessions now. Seems like the more I know, the less I get to teach. And I'm okay with that. Whatever he's okay with, I'm okay with. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I got to tell you one more thing. Dave is still my favorite teacher. And to be honest with you, he's teaching me more here lately than I know those same sentences were on those messages the last time I heard them. But it's like I never heard them. So it's got to be a maturity thing where, you know, it's one thing to hear. It's another thing to have ears to hear where it penetrates. Because I'm hearing things that, Lord, are you sure that was on there the last time? And I know it was. I know it was. I'm right on the edge of something that I can't quite put in English. Be on guard. Be on guard, says the Lord. For the enemy is bringing some tactics that you've not seen before. But know this, I've seen them before. And as long as you stay close to my spirit, nothing will take you by surprise. And even if it seems to take you by surprise, all you have to do is turn to me. I will not withhold my wisdom from you. I'll give you exactly what to do. And nothing that the enemy plans shall harm you or stop this message or keep revival away, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But be on guard. Have your antenna up. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Thank God.